for listening to Untold Florida, a podcast that looks to explore the neighborhoods of North Central Florida that you live in and to tell the stories in your community that you often wonder about. Maybe it's something you've seen driving around town, a curiosity your neighbor mentioned once, or maybe it's an uncovered or undercovered story never told by the local media. These are those stories. I'm Henry Coburn. On this episode of Untold Florida, Places Lost to Time, we'll explore the story behind mysterious domes near Donellan, Florida, so mysterious even local residents don't know. What are they? Where do they come from? Why were they built? And later in the program, we'll learn about the Jewish utopia once forged in North Central Florida, a place whose location has been lost in the decades since. But first, Anthony Talcott with the story behind the old domes in Donellan.
If you drive out on Route 41 going north from Donellan, Florida, there's a good chance you've seen some dome-like structures sitting out in the middle of nowhere. We asked some of the locals about whether they knew about these buildings or what they were for.
I've never heard of Donellan Dome, lived here 50 years.
No, I've seen those dome things before, but I don't know what they're for.
It's probably the charcoal plant. There's people taking pictures of them now all the time.
The domes are actually the remains of old charcoal kilns belonging to the Pioneer Charcoal Company. According to Andrew Murray, a member of the Donellan Historic Society, the kilns were built at a time when charcoal was in high demand.
Basically, by the Pioneer Charcoal Company that had set up, and it was after World War II in the late 50s when, you know, people started doing a lot of charcoal and barbecuing out in the backyards.
Murray says a large amount of oak in the area attracted the company to set themselves up as a small mining town.
The oak trees that we have around here are turkey oak, happens to produce wonderful charcoal, and there's just miles and miles and miles of it, you know, that were out here. And so the company set up there at Romeo, about 4 miles north of Donellan, and began harvesting the oak that's out there.
The town of Romeo, where the kilns were located, had a neighboring mining town for phosphate, which was, perhaps appropriately, named Juliet.
The period town people, you know, back in the day, they basically read the Bible or they read the works of Shakespeare. And the rumor had it here was during that time period, there was the two star-struck lovers, agricultural town of Romeo, and, you know, the little phosphate town, Juliet.
Unfortunately for the residents of Romeo, the town ended up going defunct due to a cold freeze in Florida.
A lot of the towns were going into default for different reasons. The freezes killed out a lot of the smaller towns, the agricultural towns, because everything was based on oranges. And in 1894-95, it literally killed every orange tree in the area.
With oranges making up such a large part of Florida's economy, the freezes caused the mining company to leave too. According to Sam Martzoff, director of Marion County Growth Services, the town no longer exists in the way others do, but it is still there.
It's not a municipality like Ocala would be or Donellan, so they don't have their own government and things like that, but it is a recognized place. It was on the map, you know, historically.
While the previous owners left, the property is still owned by another charcoal company, Donau Carbon U.S. However, Martzoff says there are no plans to reactivate these kilns anytime soon.
This whole newer part of this project migrated north from where the kilns were sometime after the 60s and before more current times.
The company may be relying on newer forms of charcoal production, but these kilns will continue to attract tourists and passersby.
That was Anthony Talcott with the story behind the Donellan Domes. We first started looking into the mysterious structures thanks to a listener named Caroline who asked us what they were. Next up on the program, the story of a Jewish utopia. And not just any Jewish utopia, but what some call the first Jewish utopia in the entire United States. Now, if you can believe it, a man by the name of Moses set out to create a safe place for Jews in North Central Florida all the way back in 1822. It was called Pilgrimage Plantation, and like you heard earlier, the precise location of the utopia has been lost to time. But we do know it was built somewhere near the small town of Micanopy, Florida. Unfortunately for Moses, whose full name was Moses Elias Levy, things did not go according to plan.
this was his one dream, and it just burned.
Blake Troschke is a reporter for WUFT, and she looked into the country's first promised land for ostracized Jews, a utopia that went up in literal smoke.
He was an older guy, and he might have tried to redo it again, but everything burned to the ground.
But let's go ahead and go back to the time before Moses Levy built Pilgrimage Plantation. He had to buy land to make his dream a reality.
He was born in Morocco, and he moved to the Caribbean in his late teens, early 20s, I'm pretty sure, and he worked in trade in the Caribbean, and that's how he got all of his money. And he purchased the land in Florida right before it became a state, so it was slightly cheaper when the Spanish still owned it.
Levy used his money from trade to eventually purchase over 100,000 acres of land across the southeast. One block of about 1,000 acres near modern-day Levy Lake became the foundation atop which he built his utopia. Now, Levy was a complicated guy who wore several different hats, sometimes all at once.
He was an abolitionist. He published a few papers anonymously in London about it.
But Levy owned slaves, and it was through that slave labor that Pilgrimage Plantation was built. However, history does suggest that Levy was not a cruel slave driver who would frequently abuse his slaves. His ownership of other people seems comparatively benevolent.
His goal was to educate them and slowly emancipate rather than emancipate immediately. So he would teach them agricultural things, and so then they could live on their own eventually.
Levy would even let his slaves go into town to Micanopy unaccompanied.
I think he believed that he was doing the right thing in teaching them things about agriculture, and slowly reforming them to like live in society was his viewpoint of owning slaves.
Levy would go on to build the Jewish Utopia in the alligator-infested lands near Micanopy because the area was a hub for trade at the time. The Utopia was a success, at least for a short while. More than five Jewish families went to live at Pilgrimage Plantation. But 13 years after Moses Levy set out to build his safe haven, it, along with the entire town of Micanopy, was burned to the ground during the Second Seminole War. Now, it's unclear what happened to the other families who lived on Pilgrimage Plantation. Levy, though, instead of emancipating his slaves, went on to sell them to a friend in St. Augustine. Thank you, Anthony Talcott and Blake Troschke, for their reporting for this episode of Untold Florida. Also, thank you to Kiana Robinson and Michael Phillips for their production assistance. You can hear these stories and more on our website, WUFT.org. And if you have an Untold Florida story you'd like us to look into, we'd like to hear from you. Go to WUFT.org/untoldflorida if you would like to learn more. This podcast is a production of WUFT News and the Innovation News Center at the College of Journalism and Communications at the University of Florida. I'm Henry Coburn, and this is Untold Florida. Thanks for listening.